From the Philippine Legislators Committee on Population and Development, this is SKL, the UHD podcast. SKL, the UHD podcast, is a podcast channel launched by PLCPD that aims to engage stakeholders in discussion about human development issues and how they affect our daily lives. Policy recommendations for addressing such issues will also be discussed and put forward in these episodes. Trigger warning. This episode may contain stories and discussions on sexual harassment, abuse, and rape that may trigger traumatic memories in persons who have experienced or witnessed such violence.
Babae tayo, hindi babae lang, ni Alexandra Nicole Aquino. Unti-unti na nating naiaangat ang kababaihan mula sa laylayan. Ngunit may iilan pa rin nakakulong at hindi makalaya mula sa tampalasan. Kababaihang pikit sa katotohanan kung kaya't naaabuso ng ilan. Nakakulong sa tradisyong kasal na pilit gumigipit sa kanilang kalayaan. Nilugmok sa putikan ng mapagsamantalang sistema. Niyuraka ng pagkataot ang karapatan ay kinundena. Kasama ang lumuluhang anak, lumapat sa kanya ang bakal na kamay ng asawa. Nasaan ang hustisya? Bakit hindi nila matamasa? Sa murang edad, madaling naagaw kanilang kabataan. Patuloy na naaapi ng mapanghusgang lipunan. Patuloy na bilanggo ng mapait na nakaraan. Patuloy na nagiging biktima ng karahasan. Naabuso ng iba dahil sa kulang na kaalaman. Pag-aaral ukol sa sexualidad ay dapat pag-aralan. Kanilang mga karapatan sa kanila'y ipaalam. Paano nila magagamit kung ito'y di nila nauunawaan? Hindi araw-araw ang kahapon. Sa dagat na hindi patas ang alon, matutong lumangoy at umahon. Sa puwersa ng batas, sama-samang bumangon. Sulong kababaihan, tayo ang bayani na makabagong panahon. Oras na upang dagdagan ng ngipin ng batas. Karapatan ng bawat isa ay dapat gawing patas. Hindi tayo mga mahihina na itinatago sa dilim. Tayo mga mandirigma, puso't utak ang ating patalim. Lubos na mahalaga ang ating tradisyon. Ngunit sa karapatan ng kababaihan, hindi ito ang lalamon. Tayo na ay nasa makabagong panahon kung saan kababaihan na magdedesisyon sa kanilang henerasyon. Saan mang aspeto kaya nating manguna, mula loob hanggang labas ng bansa. Wala mang anino ng korona, tayo ay mga reyna. Tayo ay mga Pilipina, may dugo ng pag-asa. Babae tayo, hindi babae lang. May sariling galing at kagandahan. Oras na para basagin ang diskriminasyon sa kababaihan dahil babae tayo, hindi babae lang. Magandang hapon at welcome sa 9th episode ng SKL, the UHD podcast, kung saan baon natin ngayon ang katanungang, may sagot nga ba para matigil ang karahasan laban sa kababaihan at batang babae? Ngayong araw, sa nalalapit na pagtatapos ng commemoration ng 18-day campaign to end VAWGI na parte ng IDVAW, makakasama niyo ako, si Luisa Galicia, at sasamahan din tayo ni Farhana Ganoy, isang youth hashtag girl defender mula sa Maguindanao Alliance of Youth Advocates or MAYA Against FAM, para iparating ang mga katanungan nating ano, sino, bakit at paano sa usapin ng violence against women and girls na sasagutin naman ng ating mga fellow hashtag girl defenders na issue experts and advocates, national and local government representatives at legislators. 18 tanong at 18 kasagutan para sa atin ngayong hapon para marating natin ang future without any form of violence against women and girls. Abangan natin ang mga ibinaong tanong ni Farhana para sa atin ngayong hapon.
Thank you po, Ate Luisa. It is a rare opportunity po na maiparating ang mga tanong na ito na malamang ay katanungan din ng nakakarami sa ating mga kababaihan at batang babae. Kaya naman sisikapin natin na sa 18 na sagot mula sa ating issue experts, advocates at legislators ay magkakaroon tayo ng mas maraming kaalaman kung paano nga ba natin sama-samang matatapos ang lahat ng forma ng karahasan laban sa mga kababaihan. Question number 1. What is violence against women and girls and what rights are violated Is this only physical in nature or are there other forms of violence?
Para sa question number one ni Farhana, pakinggan natin ang sagot ni Chair Sandy Montano of Philippine Commission on Women and Commissioner Karen Gomez-Dumpit ng Commission on Human Rights Gender Ombud.
Okay, thank you for asking that. You know, violence against women is any act of gender-based violence that results in, okay, of course, tinanong niyo po kanina, is it only physical forms or what other violence forms? Okay, we have physical, sexual, psychological, or emotional in nature. It can also be in the form of denial of access to resources. So these are the forms of gender-based violence. It is widely considered under the international standards as a violation of human rights because women's rights are human rights, as it denies persons of their sense of human dignity, autonomy, and safety. This will also impede development and prevents women from fully exercising and enjoying their rights and their freedom.
What is violence against women and girls? The United Nations defines violence against women as any act of gender-based violence that results in or is likely to result in physical, sexual, or mental harm or suffering to women, including threats of such acts, coercion, or arbitrary deprivation of liberty, whether occurring in public or in private life.
Question number two, why women and girls? Why is it important that we safeguard the rights and protection of young girls if we wish to end violence against women?
This question po is for PCW.
You know, women and girls have been the victims for abuses and discrimination as a consequence of sexism, patriarchy, and cultural biases in society. Because of this deep-seated inequality and discrimination, women and girls suffer first psychological trauma, and then they have this social isolation. In return, they have a very low self-esteem, and more importantly, they limit their growth and potential in pursuing the kind of life that they have. So this would impede the growth of our women and girls.
Question number three, why is the lack of access to sexual and reproductive health and rights information and services considered an act of violence against women and girls?
This question po is for CHR.
Well, of course, in the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, or CEDAW, it recognizes women's rights to sexual and reproductive health. This is included in their right to health, as well as in their freedom to determine the spacing and the number of children, and in their right to access information about their health, well-being, and family planning. Women's sexual and reproductive health is also related to multiple human rights, including the right to life, the right to be free from torture, the right to health, right to privacy, the right to education, and the prohibition of discrimination. In certain instances, the lack of access to sexual and reproductive health rights may amount to violence against women and girls, such as when there is intentional deprivation of reproductive health services or when culturally harmful practices are actually implemented, like female genital mutilation. That's one of the things that we can say is really an affront to the dignity of women, and is, of course, it really amounts to violence against women and girls.
Question number four, how can we address the national social emergency on adolescent pregnancy? Are current laws enough? Do we need new laws?
We would like to request the Commission on Population and Development and Representative Malu Acosta Alba to answer this question.
Adolescent pregnancies stem from lack of education and lack of openness. Adolescents not knowing the consequences of having sexual intercourse, not knowing that they can use contraceptives, and worse, not having access to most of these contraceptives. This is why I believe that the best way to address the national social emergency on adolescent pregnancy is to educate the youth and be open. We should provide adolescents the necessary sexual and reproductive health education as early as possible and allow them access to contraceptives. Our laws are insufficient because up until now, a lot of Filipino children are having their own children. This is backed by data. We should enact more laws geared towards educating our adolescents and allowing them access to contraceptives.
Ang mga kaso ng mga kabataang nabubuntis ay patuloy na tumataas lalo na sa mga minors. Kaya ang PAPCOM, NEDA at iba pang ahensya ng pamahalaan ay nananawagan para sa pagpapalabas ng isang pulisiya na nagdedeklara ng dumadaming bilang ng mga nabubuntis at nanganganak ng mga bata at kabataan ay isang social emergency. Sa kasalukuyan, may mga batas at programang tumutugon sa maagang pagbubuntis sa national at lokal na level na ipinapatupad ng gobyerno. Kasama na dito ang mga batas katulad ng Responsible Parenthood and Reproductive Health Law na naguutos sa iba't ibang institusyon na magbigay ng impormasyon at serbisyo patungkol sa seksualidad ng mga kabataan sa paaralan at sa komunidad upang mapangalagaan at paprotektahan ang kanilang sarili o maiwasan ang mga panganib na gawain maaaring makasadlak sa kanila sa maagang pagbubuntis at iba pang katulad na suliranin na may panghabang buhay na epekto. Subalit, ang mga pulisiyang pinapairal ay nangangailangan pa rin ng pagpapatibay upang ito ay mapalakas at maisakatuparan ng maayos. Pinapahalagaan dito ang pangangailangang siguraduhin na ang mga kabataan ay may access at nakakatanggap ng iba't ibang reproductive health services kasama na ang serbisyo sa pagplaplano ng pamilya, lalo na mga kabataang may anak na o mga kabataang biktima ng sexual na pang-aabuso. Kailangan din ng mas malakas na batas upang maprotektahan ng mga kabataan mula sa mga mali at malalaswang impormasyon mula sa internet at iba pang media na sanhi ng mga pang-sexual na pang-aabuso. Ang pagpapalakas ng batas laban sa sexual na karasan at pang-aabuso kasama na ang pagpapatingkad sa parusa sa mga naabuso ng sarili nilang anak at kamag-anak o incest at pagpapataas ng edad sa age of sexual consent.
Question number 5. What kinds of abuses and negative impacts to health and development are we exposing girls to when there are laws, both traditional and religious, allowing children to get married?
So ano yung mga negative effects nito, no? Psychological? Because these young women and girls are not able to enjoy an appropriate childhood or adolescence. They will also have incomplete education, which therefore affects their chance to pursue careers. And then, exposed din sila, no, sa different kinds of abuse. Child marriage also brings the possibility of teenage pregnancy. And early childbearing can cause complications para sa isang young body na hindi pa ganun ka-prepared, no, for childbearing. And actually, these complications ay isa sa mga leading causes of death among girls aged 15 to 19 years old.
Question number 6. Is there a hierarchy among rights? When or where do we draw the line when cultural rights seem to disregard women and girls' rights such as in child marriage? Can national laws be helpful along this line?
This question po is for CHR.
Is there a hierarchy among rights? Well, all human rights are equally important. The 1948 Universal Declaration of Human Rights makes it clear that all human rights, economic, political, civil, cultural, and social, are of equal validity and importance. So, when you say that there is a hierarchy among rights, I don't think that's really something that... maybe if I can reformat that particular question, maybe we can say that there are some rights that are in focus or at issue at certain points in time or given a certain situation. So while it seems like there seems to be a hierarchy of rights, I think that's really a misconception, because given a situation, you just highlight or you just pay particular attention to a specific right at that time. But it does not mean that there is really a hierarchy of rights. Some say that perhaps the highest right of all is the right to life, because without life, then there's no human rights to speak of. But then again, we always say that there is no hierarchy of rights and all rights are equally important. Kaya nga, ang sinasabi din natin, no, the mantra is all human rights for all. Meaning that all human rights, no discrimination, basta tao ka, if you're a human being, you have all the rights. And it is inherent in every human being. Okay, this is when there is what you call not really the hierarchy of rights, but seemingly a clash of human rights. No, but there is really no clash. Kasi when we take a look at certain situations, we have to ensure that the basic and fundamental rights of every individual is actually respected, protected, and fulfilled. So when we talk about culture clashing with human rights, it does not mean that culture has to be followed, because culture also has to respect the rights of the individual. And let us keep in mind that when we talk about culture, culture is not static. Culture can change, and we have to strive to change it if it actually impinges on human rights of certain groups and individuals. So, for instance, this was asked about child marriage. The passage and enforcement of a law on child marriage is not really a panacea to this problem. Umpisa pa lang po yan. That's just a beginning. We should not lose sight of the fact that child and early marriage is a multifaceted issue. That's why we are always advocating that to look at it from a human rights-based approach point of view. No? When we take a look at a situation like child marriage in the human rights lens, we are able to give focus to the rights, because any human rights-based approach will always be founded on the rights. And then you are able to identify who the claim holder is. In this case, it's the children, no? And who are the duty bearers. So in this case, it's public officials, those officiating child marriages, let's say the elders, also the parents of the children. So specific to our own context, when we take a look at all these, in the human rights-based approach, we have to take a look at also the power relations. And this is what gender-based violence also is trying to say, no? And violence against women and children.
Question number 7. How can we help empower girls to speak more freely of their rights, consent, and decision-making?
This question will be answered by me and by Ms. Baby Dal Muhammad from Almujadila Development Foundation. I think we can help empower girls to speak more freely when they know, no, their rights, and they have an understanding of the concept of consent and decision making. So it's basically equipping girls of this knowledge to help them understand and decide for themselves kung kailan nga ba sila mag-yes, kailan sila mag-no, at kailan nila i-assert, no, yung mga karapatan nila. And I think it's one of the ways kung paano natin matutulungan ma-empower ang girls to speak up.
We can empower them through educating them on their rights and creating a support group for them, making sure that yung support group na yon provides avenues and safe spaces where they can share their experiences, their issues and concerns, and basically express themselves.
Question number 8. How do we make sure that we also educate parents and communities on the matters of adolescent pregnancy and child marriage?
Let's hear the answer from United Youth of the Philippines Women, or UNIFIL, and AMDF.
We, as UNIFIL staff and advocacy officer of UNIFIL, we make sure that our women or our parents are involved or educated on this issue, because we need that their presence, that sila yung unang-unang nagtuturo sa kanilang mga anak. So kailangan make sure na involved sila at ma-educate sila sa issue ng CPAM, para mismo sila at maintindihan nila na ang maagang pag-aasawa ay hindi nakakabuti sa kanilang mga anak, bagkus nakakadagdag ito sa kanilang mga problema.
Parents are actually one of the most influential people in our lives. So it is really important that we have a open communication with them. Specifically, girls, young girls, have a good relationship with their parents. That's why it is really good na nagkakaroon tayo ng consultations, ng dialogues. Sa amin sa AMDF, we try to have parents' conversation to let them know the negative impact on early child marriage or early enforced marriages. Dahil nga sila yung influencer, malaking influence sa buhay ng isang bata. Sila rin yung sa decision making, malaki rin silang parte, no, sa decision making in our culture. Kaya siguro talagang kailangan na nasasama sila sa mga consultation. Mas naiintindihan nila kung ano yung mga rights ng anak din nila. Mas maganda rin na maintindihan nila kung ano yung mga pinagdadaanan ng mga kabataan ngayon.
Question number 9. Who are responsible for making sure that the policies made to protect the rights of women and girls are realized and implemented effectively?
When we talk about responsibility, basically, the government is responsible in ensuring the implementation of related laws and policy to protect the girls of women and the girls. Actually, in 1987, the Philippine Constitution has recognized and valued the dignity of every human person and guarantees full respect for human rights and the role of women in nation building. This constitution also ensures the fundamental equality before the law of women and men. In 1981, the Philippines also ratified United Nations Convention on the Elimination of All Forms, or CEDAW, which is considered the International Bill of Rights for Women. Actually, our government, in pursuance for this commitment, the Philippine legislature has enacted several landmark law for the protection. So we have a lot of law that we can fulfill and the promotion of the rights of women and girls. So listen, these are the landmark law that we have crafted already. We have the anti-rape, we have the anti-sexual harassment, we have the Magna Carta of Women, anti-violence against women and their children, anti-trafficking, among others. Several institutional mechanisms has also been established at the national, sub-national, and local levels to accelerate the implementation of and monitoring of these laws and policies. We also have the Interagency Council on Violence Against Women and Their Children, or the IACBAUSI, and the Interagency Council Against Trafficking, or the IICAT, at the national level. On one hand, the Regional Interagency Council Against Trafficking and VAUSI has been established in 17 regions. Okay, take note, we are already established in 17 regions, the Arcot and Davao Sea, of the country, as well as the local committee against trafficking and violence against women. There are service providers mandated to give protection, legal, medical, and psychosocial assistance for victim survivors, including residential care centers or temporary shelters.
Who are responsible? Everyone is responsible. Those in power are responsible. Those who have the authority to be able to implement those policies in law are responsible. The Commission on Human Rights is responsible as the gender ombud. We are responsible. So the Commission calls the need to demand to eliminate all forms of gender-based violence. We need to demand for accountability from duty bearers na tinatawag. So when we say who are responsible, it's everybody, but the focus is really in a human rights-based approach. The focus is on duty bearers, yung may hawak ng kapangyarihan, para makamtan ng mga may hawak ng karapatan dun sa sitwasyon na yun, ano? So that they can attain or claim their rights, the claim holders or the rights holders. We're not saying, of course, that in this analysis, we're not saying that duty bearers don't have rights, but they do have the duty because they are the ones authorized to do it. They are the ones that have the power to do it more than anybody else. So we need to demand for accountability from duty bearers, not only in ensuring effective, prompt, and survivor-centered response, but also a commitment to desist from and prevent all forms of gender-based violence. We cannot simply speak of a vow-free community if we allow normalization and trivialization of violence against women and objectification of women. As such, CHR stressed in its statement that government duty bearers are expected not only to have zero tolerance for vow, they should not be perpetrators themselves. It's important to note that while government is the primary duty bearer in ensuring that the rights of women and girls are realized, civil society also plays an important part in this. No? In fact, we all have a role to play in ensuring a gender-equal society.
Question number 10. What are the current or existing policies that protect children from sexual abuse?
So we have the RA 7610, or the Special Protection of Children Against Abuse, Exploitation, and Discrimination Act. Then we also have the RA 8353, or the Anti-Rape Law of 1997. Although, sa ating RA 8353, ang sexual intercourse ay automatically considered as statutory rape if ang victim ay under 12 years old. So, ito ay ang pinakamababang age sa Southeast Asia. So, yung good news lang, so napaka-fresh pa nitong good news, ay approved na on third reading sa House of Representatives ang ating bill increasing age to determine statutory rape from 12 to 16. So, we hope na ito ay maging may isa batas na, no?
Sa questions 11 and 12, maririnig po natin ang sagot ng ating mga legislators, Representative Malo Acosta Alba and Representative Arlene Brosas.
Question number 11. What is the key role of legislators in ending BAUSI?
We legislators hold a key role in ending violence against women and children. In fact, having a pro-women, pro-poor legislative agenda serves as a useful tool in supporting efforts to provide justice, support, protection, and remedies to victims and to hold perpetrators accountable.
I believe the key role of legislators in ending BAUSI is to create new laws and strengthen the ones already in place. In crafting new laws and amending existing ones, legislators conduct dialogues with all stakeholders to assess the effectiveness of current laws and to find out what needs to be enacted. During the dialogues, legislators and stakeholders identify major issues which need to be addressed immediately. After the laws are enacted or amended, legislators continue their work by monitoring how these laws are implemented and if the provisions are effective in addressing the said major issues. Moreover, legislators play a big part in raising awareness, especially to their constituents. They have the capacity to reach huge audiences, thus they must use their voice to educate and inform their audience.
Question number 12. What are the important things that you consider when proposing measures concerning the protection of the rights of women and girls?
As we all know, the term of office of a legislator is only 3 years. Hindi ito sapat upang maisabatas ang lahat ng gusto natin. Thus, the first thing we consider in proposing legislation concerning the protection of the rights of women and girls is the time frame. Because of this, we need to identify our priority legislative agenda at the start of every term with the help of advocates. Another thing that we consider is the urgency of the issues sought to be addressed by legislation para alam natin kung ano ang pinakakailangan na agarang solusyon. We also make sure that we are up to date on the issues surrounding women and children, especially on statistics, so that we can better assess our current laws and identify what new laws need to be enacted.
When proposing measures related to violence against women and girls, or VAWG, we need to consider a human rights-based and comprehensive approach. We need to acknowledge that violence against women is a form of discrimination, a manifestation of historically unequal power relations between men and women, and a violation of women's human rights.
Question number 13. Why do we say that adolescent pregnancy and child marriage are twin issues?
Adolescent pregnancy and child marriage are considered twin issues because one can cause the other. So, minsan nauuna ang child marriage at sanhi ng adolescent pregnancy, at minsan naman dahil sa adolescent pregnancy, kaya nagkakaroon ng child marriage. Magkaugnay din ang negative impacts nito sa health and development, lalo na ng mga batang babae, tulad ng pregnancy-related complications, missing education and economic opportunities, and higher vulnerability to different forms of abuse.
Question number 14. What can we do to further amplify our voices so other legislators who are not yet on board in ending child marriage through policy reform hear us?
So yun nga yung reality, no? May mga hindi pa rin on board, no, dun sa ating advocacy to end child marriage. And I think the best way would be to show our unity, our solidarity, no? Kasi meron tayong strength in solidarity. And dito pumapasok yung mga alliances na that we created, like hashtag Girl Defenders Alliance, na ever since it was launched, aim na nito ever since na ma-amplify pa yung advocacy natin. And ma-encourage ang sino man, and most especially ma-convince natin ang ating legislators to be part of the alliance as well, at maging hashtag Girl Defenders din sila. So,
question number 15. Are our current policies effectively protecting women and children, especially during the pandemic?
This question po is for PCW.
In order to ensure that current policies and programs would still be effective even during the pandemic or crisis, our IAC-VAWC member agencies have issued different memorandums and circulars directing service providers to remain operational and accessible. The service providers also transition to online platform to allow electronic filing of complaints, so you can now file electronically and collaborate on legal consultations, counseling, and information dissemination during the pandemic. But you know, however, there are still challenges and restrictions when it comes to reporting of the abuse because of lack of transportation. You know, during the lockdown, we don't have public transportation. The presence of perpetrators in the home. So your perpetrators is together with you 24/7 at home, and fear for possible repercussions for reporting of abuses.
Question number 16. Why is the issues on adolescent pregnancy and child marriage important human development issues?
Ang adolescent pregnancy and child marriage ay human development issues dahil may direktang negative consequences sa mga ito sa karapatan ng mga kababaihan at batang babae to have a life of quality, kung saan ang kanilang mga potentials ay realized and that their rights are protected. Human development is about ensuring that human lives are protected and each member of society realizes his or her potentials. Urgent issue ang mga ito at sana very soon ay magkaroon na nga ng policy reforms to prevent adolescent pregnancy and end child marriage. For the next two questions, we encourage everyone to give their answers, no? So lahat po tayo dito sa room can give our answers para sa question 17 and 18.
Question number 17. As a hashtag girl defender yourself, what do you think is the importance of alliances and social movements like this in ending Bauzi?
As a girl defender myself, I think it is important to join alliances and social movements, as these organized efforts can be powerful actors in our efforts to protect and expand human rights.
Alliances and social movements like this help raise awareness on Bauzi para malaman ng publiko ang sitwasyon ng mga kababaihan at batang babae sa ating bansa, at higit sa lahat para malaman ng mga biktima na ang pinagdadaanan nila ay hindi tama at mayroon silang maaaring gawin laban dito. Through movements like this, we empower women and girls to ask for help or even stand up against their abusers. These movements and alliances also help unite girl defenders from all over the country and the world to work together to eliminate Bauzi. We are definitely stronger together than apart.
We recognize the crucial role of the NGO and the CSO in the movement to end Bauzi. They have been at the forefront in advocating for women empowerment and gender equality. Actually, there's a need to converge efforts among CSO and NGOs and the government for a more effective and efficient approach in eliminating violence against women and children. And girls, of course. This would also reduce duplication of efforts and avoid wastage of resources. Actually, may mga experiences po ang ating mga non-government organization, civil service organization na maaaring hindi pa nakikita ng ating gobyerno, at may mga resources naman ang gobyerno na wala ang NGO at CSO natin. Pero ang pinaka-importante po dito ay to make sure that all concerned agencies and organizations are working together towards the same goal with shared resources, activities, and networks.
Of course, solidarity is key, no? There is always strength in unity. There is always strength in solidarity. So alliances and social movements play a crucial role in ending violence against women and girls. Apart from having strength in numbers, a single institution, even if it is the government, cannot singly or single-handedly put a stop to this violence. Considering the historical discrimination that women and girls have experienced, it's important to have all hands on deck. Passing and implementing laws aimed at eliminating violence is just part of the solution. Gender equality must become part of mainstream culture and not just a catchphrase in the human rights movement. And this is where everyone has a role to play. And this is why the Commission, of course, values partnership and collaboration with all stakeholders, coming from government agencies to civil society organizations to the academe to grassroots communities. Lahat-lahat tayo dapat sama-sama dito. And it's only when we work together with everyone that we are able to move closer to eliminating violence against women and girls. Sabi nga nila, no, a vow-free community starts with me. But a vow-free community will be attained, in my belief, it will be attained if we are in solidarity and if we work as one to ensure that violence against women and girls, when they occur, is addressed, to pursue policies that will end it, and to monitor so that we know where we can improve in our laws, in our policies and programs.
If we are looking closely sa naging takbo ng ng mga social movements throughout history, malalaman natin na karamihan sa rights na na-enjoy natin ngayon ay dahilan o resulta ng mga social movements, no, para baguhin ang sistema. And malaking importansya na full force tayo, no, sa mga movements na ito, at nabibigyan ng highlight yung mga alliances katulad ng hashtag Girl Defenders na nabanggit ko kanina, na talagang makatulong, no, to change social norms. At nakita na nga natin na ang naitulong nito sa advocacy to end VAUGE, especially child marriage, no?
Ang adikahing ito ay personal sa akin sapagkat ako ay lumaki sa pamilya na kung saan ang karasan ay umiiral, lalo na sa mga bata. Subalit, ang aking kwento ay isa lamang sa mas malalang kwento ng mga kabataang babae na kasalukuyang nakakaranas ng karasan o kawalan ng kakayahang protektahan ng kanyang sarili. Kaya bilang kawani ng PAPCOM o ng gobyerno, kami ay nananawagan sa pagkipagtulungan ng mga iba't ibang institusyon ng bawat pamilya, higit sa lahat ng bawat Pilipino, upang maiwasan at malabanan ng karasan, lalo na sa mga kababaihan, mahihirap at nasa laylayan. Ang pakipag-alyansa at pagsusulong ng sabay-sabay na pagkilos katulad nito ay mahalaga upang maiangat ang antas ng kalaman, nagpagkilala ng buong sambayanan sa patuloy na pag-iral ng karasan sa mga kababaihan at kabataan.
As a girl defender, we believe that there's power in numbers. So, yung alliances, isa rin itong support group. Mas napapalakas yung advocacy, mas malakas yung boses na kapag pinagsama-sama mo yun, mas malaki yung impact. Kaya maganda rin talaga na sa advocacy na ito may kasama ka, no, may alliance na sinasabi, tulad nga ng Girl Defenders Alliance, which yun din yung nakikita natin na pinanggagalingan ng source ng strength, ng confidence ng bawat isa kapag merong ganitong klaseng support group.
The importance of alliance kasi, ma'am, pag marami tayo, mas may boses tayo. So, yun yung importante nung marami tayong alliance, katulad ng Maya. Ngayong Maya is isa sa alliance natin, Active Youth Girl Defenders sa Maguindanao. So, pag marami siyang membro at marami siyang kasama, mas pinakikinggan at mas may boses ang karamihan.
So, ito po yung last na question po na baon ko, ang question number 18 po. How can we create more spaces for women and girls in the country?
A woman's place is in her home, in the workplace, in community, in groceries, in the streets, in classrooms, campuses, in the cyberspace, in politics, and leadership. In short, a woman's place is everywhere. Kaya, mahalaga na in every space, sa bawat espasyong kinabibilangan ng kababaihan, dapat safe at ligtas ang bawat kababaihan at kabataan. Nasaan man sila, dapat ay meron silang kakayahang isakatuparan ng kanilang karapatang maging ligtas, makagawa ng kanyang nais na gawin para sa kanyang sarili, sa pamilya at komunidad. Ang karapatang ito ay dapat ipinapatupad ng pamahalaan, ng pamayanan at bawat pamilyang Pilipino. Kaya bilang duty bearer, ang pamahalaan ay dapat magsagawa o isa katuparan ng mga umiiral na batas para sa kaligtasan at kaunlaran ng mga kababaihan sa kanilang tahanan, sa trabaho, sa lansangan at kahit saan. Mahalagang magtayo ng karapatang pasilidad at mekanismo upang matugunan ang kanilang pangunahin at praktikal na pangangailangan upang mabuhay na malusog at marangal. Kailangan ding pagtingin ang mga mekanismong pumuprotekta sa karapatan at kalagayan ng mga kababaihan laban sa kakarahasan katulad ng BAUSIDES at katulad ng mga programa ng pamahalaan. Sa pangmatagalang solusyon, kailangan patatagin ang mga batas at programang patuloy na papaunlad sa kakayahan ng mga kababaihang paunlarin ang kanilang sarili upang sila ay magkaroon ng kalakasang protektahan ng kanyang sarili mula sa physical, emotional, economical at iba pang uri ng karasan at kahinaan.
Yung na-mention ko nga on creating safe spaces, no, not just spaces for young girls or women, but also safe spaces to express themselves nga, to talk about their opinions. So siguro mas maigi talaga na ma-mainstream yung ganung klaseng initiatives, no, ganung klaseng practice na sana ma-influence natin yung ating mga duty bearers na mas bigyan nga ng spaces na para mas yung mga young girls, young women na makapagsalita, especially on decision makings, no, that and issues that concerns them, yung pag-create ng programs from barangay level, no, hanggang kung pwede nga international, nagkakaroon, no, ng chance na makapagsalita at marinig din yung ating mga young girls. So sa atin, sa Creating Spaces na project, no, kung saan kasama ang Almojadila Development Foundation, tinatry talaga natin to empower these young girls, to organize them para mas para hindi lang yung makapagsalita sila, malaman nila kung ano yung mga rights nila, but actually to really encourage them.
We have to look at spaces in various aspects, no, in various forms. Well, in this case, it's civil, political, economic, social, and cultural. What are the spaces? It's private, public, online, offline. Yan. It entails changing mindsets, no, and shifting paradigms in this different milieu or different environment. The inequality that women face are results of long-standing and historical discrimination, and we must bear that in mind. And this is brought about by many factors, such as patriarchal concepts and treating women as inferior to men. We need to make everyone understand that gender equality benefits society as a whole. Through time, we have seen how the collective experiences of women are useful in nation building. We have seen how communities benefit from the contributions of women in disaster risk reduction and management. We have seen also how women leaders across the world greatly contributed to addressing the COVID pandemic. Dami pa. There are a lot more. We also have our own roles to play in our respective circles of influence, no matter how seemingly little. We start by engaging others in conversation and dialogue. Pero yung respectful, no, conversation and genuine dialogue. Lastly, we need to remember that gender equality is not about favoring one gender over the other, but rather it is about helping everyone, regardless of gender, to achieve his or her full potential.
There's a lot of way we can create spaces for women and girls in the country by having this 5 points agenda. Strengthen capacity building efforts for local service providers, especially in the barangay level, and reinforce their accessibility and the online presence. 2, initiate dialogues with local development council to strengthen mechanism and check if VAUGI-related programs are included in the local government unit plans and budgets. 3, disseminate useful information on VAU, especially on what women can do in case they find themselves in abusive situations, how and where to report violence, and what are the legal remedies they can avail of. Next, establish a community-based system that will allow victims to discreetly signal for help or for concerned citizens to easily report abuses. One good example is the program of Lihok Pilipina in Cebu, kung saan ang kanilang mga neighbors create noise to inform authorities that there is someone being abused in the vicinity. At the last but not the least, men and boys should be partners in prevention of VAUGI which is crucial, and it's important to involve and engage them in the advocacy campaign.
Okay, so mabibigyan natin ng more spaces ang mga women and girls natin sa pamamagitan ng pagbibigay ng opportunity sa kanila upang maisiwalat nila at mabigay nila yung opinion nila patungkol sa issue ng CPAM at ma-express nila ang kani-kanilang mga idea at ma-address nila yung different issue ng kababaihan. Sa pamamagitan nun, mabibigyan natin sila ng more spaces sa community at mai-enjoy nila yung kanilang kabataan, especially the young ones, pag sila mismo yung iiwas doon sa issue, dahil alam nila at aware sila na ang issue na yun ay para sa ang issue na yun ay sila talaga yung naapektuhan at sa kanila yung issue. And isa pang kwan is to empower women and girls para sila mismo yung makakasama natin doon sa pag-a-advocacy ng CPAM at mabigyan sila ng maraming opportunity na ma-enjoy nila yung kanilang kabataan at hindi sila mabiktima ng BAUJI or CPAM.
We can create more spaces by helping, no, our young women and girls to feel more empowered and safer by providing them a VAUJI-free society kung saan pwede silang mag-express, kung saan kaya nilang ma-fulfill ang kanilang rights, and they can speak up freely.
I believe we can create more safe spaces for women and girls in the country through our collective activism and advocacy. We must actively take part in the campaign for women's rights and unite in the struggle for justice and freedom.
We can start by educating people. We should educate our children that women and men are equal and thus must be treated equally, and that any form of violence against anyone, especially against women and girls, is never acceptable. Moreover, let us shift attitudes by looking at things through a gender lens, from proposing legislation to urban planning and planning infrastructure projects at the local level. We must ensure that we take into account our women and girls. We must ensure that in all the things that we do, we take their safety into consideration.
Ngayong narinig, nalaman at natutunan natin ang mga sagot sa bawat isang tanong. May nag-iisa lang akong tanong para sa iyo, Farhana. Bilang isang kabataan at isang hashtag girl defender, paano mo nakikita ang future without any form of violence against women and girls?
Salamat po, Ate Luisa. So, bilang isang youth at isang hashtag girl defender, nakikita ko po ang future without any form of violence against women and girls as a healthy society, a healthy community, not only a healthy country but also a healthy world. Kasi po, without any form of violence against women and girls, nagiging patag po or equal yung treatment sa lahat. So it could lead to peace. Parang kumbaga po sa communication, parang nakikipag-communicate ka without any noises or barrier, na through that walang inequality kasi both girls and men parang pare-pareho po siya lahat. So without violence against women and girls, I see a future as a peaceful country or peaceful world.
That is the answer which we all wish to happen, no? Yung peaceful at a society free from violence against women and girls. Gusto ko lang pong banggitin, no, na kailangan po talaga natin ng policy reforms, no, para matulungan na ma-expand pa yung safe spaces para sa mga kababaihan at batang babae. At isa nga po ito, no, sa mga pinagsisikapang gawin ng PLCPD at ng hashtag Girl Defenders Alliance. So, sana po maipasa na mga bills preventing adolescent pregnancy and prohibiting child marriage and sexual violence. Hopefully, ngayon taon, umabot pa ang ating mga pangangatok sa ating mga legislators, no, upang mas mapabilis pa ang pagsasabatas nitong mga bills na ito. Maraming salamat sa iyo, Farhana, at syempre sa ating mga special guests na nagbigay ng oras upang bigyang linaw at sagot ang ating mga katanungan. And listeners, you too can be a part of the answer to ending VAUGI. Bukod sa participation nyo sa ating episode, you can also help us to hashtag endchildmarriage towards a future generation with no more children having children by learning more and joining in the conversations by following our activities in our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PLCPD1989. Whenever you speak out, get involved, or actively show your efforts, you help the world get one step closer to giving women and girls a better future. You help create a future that is truly free from violence against women and girls. This is Luisa Galicia at samahan niyo ulit kami dito lang sa SKL sa UHT Podcast.
Sa dambanan ng katotohanan, sa ngalan ng katarungan, ihahayag pangarap at mithi ng bayan ko may luha't pinag.